I want to welcome everybody to this week's episode of In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. I'm your host, JB, and once again, Golfer Gal is leaving us. She is not with us this week, but we found a suitable replacement. We're going to have to get on her because she's not really doing her job. But this week, we have Chris from Odyssey Golf, and we have a lot going on with the Morgan Cup and the guys getting into putting and choosing putters to be a staff member for a weekend. And Odyssey has an intriguing product that we learned about earlier the year called the Dart. And before we get into all that, let me introduce Chris to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You know, while at the PGA show this year, we got kind of a sneak peek at Dart technology in Odyssey putters, and the setup was amazing. We have some pictures on the site with the Dart boards and the whole nine yards. But I learned there that Dart actually does stand for something. Can you tell everybody what it stands for?
Absolutely. So I'll kind of give you a brief look at how we got to the name. We're actually doing a bunch of testing with players, and obviously it's an alignment putter, and a couple of the testers said, guys, things just like throwing darts, and we were hunting for a name, and it stuck. But it kind of started with, I'll give you the acronym, Direction and Realignment Technology. And so the whole basis of the putter is we took a step back and we looked at the alignment process. And, the first step being reading the green. Second step being putting your ball down and lining up your ball to your target. The third step being getting your general direction. And then that last step is that realignment. It's that last gut check and squaring your putter face to your target before you pull the trigger. And so that's where the name came from and where the story started.
Now, with the whole thing, the question has to be asked, did the name come first or did the design come first and then the name came afterward?
The name definitely came afterwards, and, hand that over to the marketing department at some point. But, it all starts with a concept and it starts with a story and it starts with fixing golfers' problems.
Now,
and the number one problem in putting is alignment.
Now, speaking of alignment and the dart putter in specific, it's a unique shape, and yes, the dart kind of stands out. Now, what do you say to people that just say, well, when I look down at it, it just doesn't work for me, it doesn't work for my eyes? How do you get over that aspect of it to say, well, if you try it out, the alignment technology really works?
Well, I really go back to our history, and when we first brought two ball to market, we heard a lot of people say the same thing. And then Paul Lowry went out on tour and won with it. And then Craig Perry and then Annika and, 200 wins, 4.5 million putters sold later. We built this franchise within our line of the best-selling putter of this century, this decade. And, from there, we go to R&D and we ask them to create the next two ball. And that's where Dart really started. So when someone looks at it and says that it looks a little weird, we kind of remind them of that. And then we take them through the process of what the putter does for you and how it really fine-tunes the alignment.
Now, the Dart is available in three different models, at least from my gathering. So there are some different sites to look at when at setup. What are the different models and how do they benefit each golfer? I know that's a mouthful there.
I can dig into that for sure. Starting with the first one, it's kind of what we call our general mallet version of the Dart, and it's a little bit bigger, higher MOI, space balanced product, and really kind of our number one seller within the Dart franchise. The second one would be the Dart Blade, which is a little bit more of a traditional look, as traditional goes, with big alignment devices on the top of it, and very similar to the way that we developed the two ball and the two ball blade. The last one would be the Dart Backstrike. We launched the Backstrike last year and had a great success with it. We had six of them in play this last week on tour, and this Backstrike technology is really taking off for us. And
I know the Backstrike technology, Thomas Bjorn uses the Backstrike and actually won in Europe, and, his big claim to fame in the States is he beat Tiger Woods in match play this year.
Absolutely, and he won once on the European Tour, and then he beat Tiger in the match play, and we were all excited around here and just watching that go down. We got another guy who's not a staffer of ours who happened to be a mechanic 4 years ago who's had a great year on the PGA Tour. And, again, not allowed to name his name, but the waste management, he almost won that tournament if he hadn't dumped the ball into the water twice on 17.
He's using Backstrike technology.
Absolutely. So it's been an exciting year watching players out on tour using our products, whether it be the new dart products, and then, you know, moving into the backstrike as well.
Now, I'll get back into to the dart in a second, and this is kind of related. Now, I know the dart technology's been out on tour, and while you can't discuss some of the names, I can. I know Keegan Bradley's been using it. Paul Goidos has put it in play, and J.P. Hayes has put it in play. And while you won't be able to discuss those because they're not on staff with Callaway and Odyssey, there is a guy who you can discuss, and the story's really, really good.
Yep, so Scott Gustuski is one of our younger staffers. He came up off the Nationwide Tour this past year, had a great year out there, actually using a backstrike putter for the most part of last year. And this year he came in, and we showed him the new dart putter, and he's had a lot of fun with it and a lot of success with it. And there was a stat that stood out in my head as we looked at how he did through the first 8 tournaments of this year. And I don't remember the exact number of putts, but it was very close to 100. He had made, in putts 5 feet and in, roughly the first 100 putts he looked at this year. And there was only about 3 golfers on tour who could say that. And so, you know, when you look at the tour average of putts made 5 feet and in, it's about 96% through the year, and the best guys usually stand around 98%. But he put a great streak together. Not quite DiMaggio, but we'll take it for sure.
That's pretty an astounding stat, and I think, you know, golfers everywhere can learn from that. Is, you know, how many putts do, if somebody doesn't say pick it up, do we think we'll actually make it 5 feet? I know we all say 5-footer, but 5 feet's, you know, it's a substantial amount. It's the size of my wife. She's 5 feet tall. if she lays down, I wouldn't want to take a putter to her head most of the time. But I'd like to think that I'd make most of those, but I don't think I would be anywhere near 96%.
You know, it's interesting. I get to work with Dave Pelz quite a bit, and he just finished his 6th book, and it's about the most feared shots in golf. And the most feared shot, according to the research that he's done, is the 3-foot putt. And, you know, it's that knee knocker that you've got to practice and practice and practice. And I think we all take it for granted, to your point.
Now, with the technology, and I'm assuming, and this is a general assumption that maybe I shouldn't make, but I'm assuming that most of our readers and listeners have seen the new dart putters. When you're going to choose a putter, is there a way to choose the one rather than just say, okay, well, I think I'm going to try the dart series, and I like blades, so I'm going to choose this? How do you recommend somebody going about choosing the right one in the series?
You know, I always typically go to addressing the problem or what the issue is first. And so if you've got an alignment issue, which the majority of golfers do, then, you know, you're going to look at the best alignment products on the market. And you know, we're a little biased, of course, but, you know, we go to Two Ball and then the new dart putter. When you look at between the three of them, it really comes down to the stroke. If you're more of a straight back, straight through stroke, or maybe you tend to pull the ball a little bit, the mallet would be for you. If you tend to push the ball a little bit, maybe go to the dart blade. And then, you know, the backstrike is, you know, we've seen more success out on tour with players who have more of a straight back, straight through stroke, but I really call it a problem solver. And, you know, it locks your hands in a great position. It puts a great roll on the ball. It eliminates torque on the hands. And so, you know, as you look at the three different darts, that's a good way to comb through them.
Okay. Now, the people who say, well, the backstrike, it's really about forward press, and that I just can't look at that shaft. How do you combat that, especially with, you know, when you combine the backstrike and the dart, it seems like you get two really good technologies in one putter that could probably help a whole lot of golfers. How do you combat the whole, well, I just can't look at it?
Well, again, going back to the two ball and talking about the difficulties of looking at something a little bit different, you just got to put it in somebody's hands and say, trust me. And, you know, that's what we did at the PGA show last year when we introduced the backstrike. And, you know, in my job, I have to continue to do it on a regular basis. When I'm out on tour and working with the players, you know, it helps when we get success and the ball really starts rolling. But the technology behind it is proven. When people say they can't look at it, I tend to joke with them and say, well, do you like looking at a shaft that covers the bottom third of your putter face? Because me personally, I like to see the entire face. It helps me align. And, you know, you kind of bring it to that level, and the players tend to take that second look at it. But, you know, tour-proven entities are what sell products in this industry. And the more success we continue to see with this product, you know, the easier it is for people to get over.
Now, Odyssey, when people think of Odyssey putters in general, they think insert.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different inserts that Odyssey has, and I'm actually quite a big fan. Now, the Dart, explain the insert in the Dart putters.
So the Dart putter has our Wide Ice insert, and Wide Ice is a line that we launched in November of 2009, and we call it the most evolved insert that we've ever created. And really, it was taking a look back to, you know, the beginning of Odyssey with the old Sternomic putter and the material that that was made of, and the evolution to white hot.
I had one of those.
Did you really?
I did.
A bit of a collector's item. It's just,
I don't
not many
anymore.
Around.
I own a lot of putters right now, some might say, but that's not one of them.
So you know, working with white hot, and you know, the white hot insert was made of the cover of a golf ball, and as things have progressed over the years, we've really fine-tuned the way that we make these inserts, and you know, the things that we can fine-tune are the stiffness and the hardness, and those are two completely different things. Consistency off the face, resiliency off the face, and then one of the biggest things that people don't talk about a whole lot is sound. And you know, we've got one of the most discerning staffers and professional golfers in the world on our staff, and Phil Mickelson, and he's got this saying that when he hits a 5-foot putt, he wants it to look like a 5-foot putt, and he also wants it to sound like a 5-foot putt. And so to him, the noise that the insert creates when it hits the ball is extremely important. So we go through a number of tests measuring the amplitude and the frequency and the pitch of the sound with a number of different balls in the marketplace off of our inserts. And so White Ice was kind of the culmination of all of that research to really fine-tune our feel. And, you know, when you look out at the PGA Tour on the weekends, there are an awful lot of Odyssey inserts out there.
Well, I know there have been in recent weeks, and while you're not allowed to address most of them because they're not on staff, the Masters, I believe, Odyssey won the putter count. And
we did.
This past week, I mean, every single guy, it seemed like, in the hunt was using an insert. And
yep, so we had the top five finishers, and I believe seven of the top 12 guys, none of which, to your point, were on our staff. And, you know, when they're going out there and they're doing it of their own volition, you know, it's great to see them put the products in play and then perform on the weekends. It makes it fun for me to watch, for sure.
I can only imagine. Now, going back to the Dart putter, I'm fascinated by it, as many can attest to. And I haven't quite pinpointed why. I don't know if it's the graphic or what it is, but I've experimented with it. And I don't have one here currently, but that'll change soon. Hint.
Mm-hmm. We can do that.
I'm kidding. When I've experimented with it, it seems as though when I take the putter back, nothing changes. I don't know if it's the optical illusion that I'm seeing. What, can you tell me a little bit, and I'm rambling here, which is awesome for radio, but can you tell me a little bit about, you know, direction and realignment technology, which is what you said it stood for. Mm-hmm. Where did it come from outside of the two ball? Like, how does the design itself come to be?
So I'll kind of go into a little bit of a long story. So one of the benefits that we have around here is we've got a lot of different engineers and designers looking at our product. And we've got graphic designers and industrial designers and engineers, and they're all working on our products
on
a regular basis. What's that?
Do you have a nickname for them, like the nerds or anything like else?
I just call it Dwelling in the Lab. I grew up a Bay Area rap fan, and there was a rap album called Dwelling in the Lab. And so they all sit there in their white coats. We call them twirly heads sometimes. a number of different things that I probably can't say on the radio.
I'm sure.
But we've got a great team of designers, and led by Austin Rollinson, who's our head designer, who's, you know, been leading the design for Odyssey for the past 12 years. And so one of them came to us, and he tends to work on some of our different shapes. The Sabretooth and the Teron putters were two of his babies. And he came to us with this product that had the Dart device on top of it. And we said, yeah, we get it. It looks like an arrow. We understand its alignment. And he launched into the story of why it works. And for those of you who have taken architectural design classes or really studied art, you might be familiar with it. But it's based on a theory that was developed in the 1800s called Gestalt psychology. And One of the pieces of that theory is that the mind can complete objects that aren't necessarily there. And so we've all got that email forward of all these optical illusions that you stare at on your
computer
screen.
Oh, my God, I stare at those things just endlessly.
And really, that's kind of what this is. And, you know, I don't know how much you're following as our hunters, but if you see a deer creeping up from behind a tree or a bush, your mind can complete the rest of the shape of that deer because it's innate to us. It's something that we've seen a number of times in our life, and that's what this arrow does. And so if you look at the dart device and you set it up next to a ball, the apex of that arrow will complete itself in the center of the golf ball. If you open it up just a hair or close it down just a hair, that apex is completely off center of the golf ball and really frames any misalignment that you have. So when we talk about that last step of realignment technology, you know, it really is fine-tuning that realignment and helping you get the confidence right before you pull the trigger.
So would you say that the arrow, you know, forget the alignment piece is there. Would you say the bigger part is the actual design of the arrow or the alignment piece that's attached to the putter? Or is it all in one?
I'd say it's all in one, but really the kind of the detail, the specific help that you're getting is where that apex is completed. If the apex was completed short of the center of the golf ball or further beyond it, you wouldn't get the same results that you get by having it finish in the center of the golf ball.
So taking one of my putters that I have over here and sharpieing an arrow on the top of it isn't going to help me the same way.
We've looked at those designs and it doesn't help quite as much. And you know, the development of this, you know, started with very, very rudimentary arrows that you would see on a street sign and plop it on top of a putter. And, you know, we've been working on these designs for years and years. And, you know, this one in particular is probably 4 years in the making before it's fine-tuned enough to where we bring it to market.
With going back to the models, and I'm going to change directions on people,
sure.
There's a regular mallet model, your blade model, and the backstrike model.
Mm-hmm.
With the backstrike, with the popularity it's seen based on tour, will you continue to see that this is the evolution of putter lines, is blade, mallet, backstrike?
I wouldn't say that it's an evolution. And, you know, one of the things that we have to keep in mind is, you know, I was talking to some guys earlier today about it, but we've got 50-plus models in our line, if you include some of the stuff that we make for the Japanese market. And the reason that we do that is because we're servicing, you know, hundreds and hundreds of tour players across the world, and we've got to have choices for them. We're servicing millions of consumers, all who have different tastes. We kind of joke about Baskin-Robbins having 31 flavors and Odyssey having even more. You know, the putter is one of those things that when it's nice to you, it's your favorite club in the bag, and when it's not, you know, you want to dig a ditch and bury it. And so having different options, different things for people to look at and feel is key to the game, and I'd say that backstrike is just another arrow in the quiver for us.
I'll give you a brief story of my Odyssey relationship that I've had, not with the company, with my putter. I played when the day that White Hot Number 7, the weirdest looking putter, when it came out at the time, maybe mm-hmm. ever created, and I don't know how many years ago that was, you probably do, when it came out, I bought it. And I've made there's no shame or secret about it. I played it with all the putters and equipment I've tested over the years. I always came back to the White Hot Number 7. I may mm-hmm. shy away from it for a little bit, but I always came back to it. I don't know what it was, if there was something about it or this and that. Well, it got damaged, and I was playing in a member guest. I'm going to bore you with the details here. And I didn't realize at the time the face was damaged and it had a nick in it. And I hit a putt, and it literally went 3 feet to the right and not an inch forward.
Oof.
So at that point, I had to move past it, and it's not a knock on the Odyssey putter, but that putter, to me, was the extension of learning how to putt properly. And when I picked up the dart at the PGA show, it was the first time that I'd picked up another putter, and it was the blade version, although I liked the mallet a lot too, that I had hit a putter, and it had that same extension. And I'm sure some of the listeners can relate to this a little bit. When you pick up a putter, forget about, oh, it's not suiting to my eye or this and that, and you hit one putt with it and you know, it almost feels like it's an extension of your arm.
Mm-hmm.
The dart putter did that to me, and I don't know if maybe going back the way you've described this, that the number 7 had that same kind of mental thing for me where it just kind of worked.
Yeah, I'd say that we've had a number of both types of models, and obviously I've talked about the two ball, the number seven, which is still extremely popular on tour and almost got a win this past weekend. And we've heard a lot of things that are very similar about the dart, and it's really interesting. For those of you who saw the print ad that we ran in Golf Digest Hot List issue, we put a sticker in there and challenged people essentially to put it on their own putter and try it out. And we got a ton of calls into our customer service department asking for more stickers, guys that even wanted to put them on their driver. And it was because that alignment aid that was on the top of it made it so comfortable to look at that and so confident from an alignment standpoint that, to your point, it just kind of made it feel an extension of them.
You know what I call those people?
Go for it.
Cheap. They want more stickers. Go buy the putter.
I know, $180 putter and then a free sticker, huh?
No, I obviously I'm not going to call them cheap. They might have wanted to test it a little further. Okay, no, I will. I'll call them cheap. Buy the dart putter. Looking at the different models, will we see other models coming out? And I know it's hard to discuss that because you're not really able to. But are we really trying to focus consumers and golfers that there is one of these three models will fit you?
Well, I'd say that our portfolio is pretty deep, and to use a baseball analogy, we've got a pretty deep bench of hitters that we can put in the game. And, some of the things that we do, we develop a lot of putters for tour. And so we've actually got different models of the dart out there on tour right now. We've got a tour black version. We've got one with a red device on the top of it.
I saw that one. That thing is cool looking.
Oh, it's very cool. We've got a mid version. We've got a long version. We will be coming out with a black version, and I can say that. I haven't told a lot of our customers that yet, but on July 1st, we'll have a black version coming to market in a limited fashion. You'll most likely see some mids and longs come at some point. And so, one of the things that we like to do is vet everything through tour. We like to make sure that the tour guys like it before we bring it to the market. And they really drive the dynamic with R&D here.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for coming on the show, because to me, dart is, I know people hear Odyssey Dart, it's got the little dart on it. There is more to it than that, as we found out today. It is something that it's easy for me to say that it works because you're on the air, but it truly does. I enjoy it, and I've contemplated making that switch. I haven't done it yet, but I've contemplated it, which says a lot. At least to me, it does. But we want to thank you for coming on, answering the questions that I'm sure people had. And obviously, when the new one comes on, we want to have you back on again, talking about it and telling our listeners exactly why it works for people. Because if they pick it up and they try it, they may find that this is the best thing for them.
Absolutely. And thanks for having me. Anytime I get to talk about putters, I've got a big smile on my face. And I know we've got some exciting news on the horizon over the next year and a half here from a product standpoint. So I'd love to be back.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And we want to thank our readers for listening once again, listeners for listening once again. We will be back next week with another show. Until then, enjoy it, everybody. And Golfer Gal will be joining me with our next show. Thanks, everybody.